Okay, come on. There we go. Okay, so again, what I said was, if you do not do this flowchart and pseudocode assignment that is a quiz test, do it. I will still take it. Do it. Okay, we're going back into JavaScript. And the ones I want to look at are loop comparisons. And I want to look at the while loop, and then I'm going to look at the nested while loop. And for anybody that's taking 122, this is basically a duplicate, because these examples are, there's about a week of overlap. Which we like to refer to as review, right? Okay. So, anyway, this is a loop. And so this is, again, a review of loops. I think we actually looked at some loops. But this is a review of loops. And again, remember what a loop needs. You need to set, okay, the control, whatever your control is. And in this particular case, I'm setting the control right there. Okay? I need to check the control. And my control check is right there. And I need to change the control. And that's right there. Because if I don't change the control, count will stay at 1, and the loop will go on forever because I'm doing it while count is less than or 3, equal to 3. So if I don't change count, the loop will go forever until somebody pulls the plug. Okay? Again, notice that I have a slash in the BR. Every once in a while I find one of those I forget, and then when I go home I forget again. That's an XHTML way of doing it. It's perfectly fine, but it was the previous version from HTML5 was XHTML. And XHTML required that everything have an ending, and so BR had to have a slash. Okay? So, inside my loop here, I'm starting count out at 1. I'm saying I want to do it while count is less than or equal to 3. So I come down here. Now again, I did not define a variable count, a variable answer rather. Okay? I could have, probably I even should have, but I got away with it, and I've mentioned this before. I got away with it because it's on the left. So I said, take count, which I did define, add it to count, and put it in answer. And the browsers are smart enough to figure out that that means you need a variable called answer, and they create it for you. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do that. I do it more being callous than anything else, and if it runs, hey, who noticed? So I made the mistake, and probably, or this may have been one of the times that I did it, so I talk about it. But lots of times I do it because it's a mistake. Okay, so variable answer I should have defined, but since I didn't, it defines it for me. So I add, count is 1, so I add 1 plus 1, and answer becomes 2. And then I write out count, which is 1, concatenated with a plus sign, concatenated with count, which is 1, concatenated with an equal sign, concatenated with answer, which is 2, concatenated with a BR. So all that goes together and produces up here 1 plus 1 equals 2 and moves down to the next line. After I write it, I add 1 to count. So count is now a 2. I go back and it's while count is less than or equal to 3, it is. So it goes into the loop. 2 and 2 is 4. I add them together, and I write out 2 plus 2 equals 4, and move down to the next line. And then I add count, one more to count, so count becomes a 3. I go back, while count is less than or equal to 3, it is. So I go in and I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6. And then I do a document write of 3 plus 3 equals 6. And then I break. Okay? Now I add 1 to count and it's now a 4. So when I go back up, count is no longer less than or equal to 3. So it drops out and does the thing right below the loop. Okay, so when it drops out, it just says, oh, I don't need to go in and do that stuff in curly braces anymore, and it comes to there. Now, if there had been another command before the closed script, it would have done it. There wasn't, so it closed the script, wrote out the header, which is HTML, and then dropped out. But when the condition is no longer true, it goes right below the closed curly brace and says that's what's next, because I don't have to enter the loop. I don't have to do the loop. Questions? Okay, the next one we're going to look at is a nested loop. Okay, so this one's a lot better loop. A lot better set of math facts, because it's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Actually, I want to get this and make it a little bit smaller so that when the ink thing comes up, it doesn't make it go away. There. Okay. What I've got now is a nested loop. I've got a while within a while, and that's called a nested loop. Okay. Now I am dealing with a variable called count, a variable called count in, and a variable called answer that I, again, didn't define because I copy and paste from the last one. Okay? So answer is not defined. Now, I define count equals 1. I define count in, but I didn't give it a variable. Hold on, thank you. I didn't give it a variable name. I didn't give it an amount, an initial value. That's what I was looking for. I didn't give it an initial value. Not for any programming reason, but for I wanted to make a point reason. I am setting its value down here, and as you go through, you'll see why that's important. So if I wrote variable count in equals 1 up there, it would be fine, but it wouldn't. I also would need to set it to 1 down here. So I just left it without setting a value to kind of emphasize my point. Okay, so I'm starting out, and I'm saying count is 1. There's nothing in answer, and there's nothing in count in. So I drop down and I say, I want to do this while count is less than or equal to 3. So it was important that I had something in count. Okay. So count is now less than or equal to 3. So I drop down, and at that point, drop into the loop, I make count in a 1. So I'm now in the outer loop, and this is the outer loop. This is the inner loop. So I set count equal to 1, and then I came to the inner loop, and I said, okay, while count is less than or equal, count in is less than or equal to 3. And it is, because I just set it to 1. So I go in and I say, okay, answer equals count plus count in, so answer is a 2. And I do a document write of 1 concatenated with plus, concatenated with count in, which is another 1, concatenated with equal, concatenated with answer, which is a 2. So I write out 1 plus 1 equals 2. Now what you do is you stay in the inner loop until the inner loop is done. And if you look over here, you can see that. That's the outer loop. That's the control of the inner loop. That's the count. That's count in. This is answer. Okay, so notice out there the count, the outer loop, stays 1 for a while count in changes. And then when count changes, count in goes back to 1, count stays 2 for a while count in moves up. And then count is back, is set to 3, and count in is set back to 1 and goes up. And we'll watch how that works. So I wrote that out, and now it says, in the inner loop, add 1 to count in. It doesn't do anything to count. So it adds 1 to count in, and it loops back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Answer is now 1 plus 2, or 3. And I write out 1 plus 2 equals 3. And then I add 1 to count in. And it's now up to a 3. So I go back in the inner loop. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. It's 3. So at that point, I come in and I say, okay, answer equals 1 plus 3, which is 4. And I write out 1 plus 3 equals 4. And then I add 1 to count in. Now when I add 1 to count in, it got to 4. So when I go back and I check, is count in less than or equal to 3? The answer is no. So when I drop out of the loop, when I drop out, I come to here. Okay, when I drop out of the inner loop, I come here and I add 1 to count. So count now becomes a 2. Okay, so I added 1 to count. Count now becomes a 2. And at that point, I go back up to the outer loop. I go back up to the outer loop. And I say, well, count is less than or equal to 3. Is it less than or equal to 3? Yeah. So that means I want to go in and process the outer loop. And the first thing I do in the outer loop is I reset count in back to 1. Okay, now see what I've done? When I added 1 to the outer loop and got up to 2, I reset count in back to 1. And that's why it's critical that count in equals 1 is right before I go into the inner loop. So that when I go in here, I will reset. Okay? So if I hit this inner loop, if I hit the inner loop on a drop down, okay, I'm dropping down, then count in is reset. If I'm just looping, I don't hit that count in equals 1, because the loop in the inner loop, I just keep going right around here, and so count in is handled down at the bottom of the code. where I say count in equals count in plus one. But when I hit it on a drop down, it's reset. Okay, so it's reset to one. And then I come in and say, is count in less than or equal to three? Yeah, I just made it one. So then I go in and I say answer equals count plus count in. So answer becomes three. And I write out 2 plus 1 equals 3. And then I add 1 to count in. Notice I didn't touch count. Count is staying the way it was. And if you look over the answers, you can see that's what I want. So I'm in the inner loop. I go back and say, is count in less than or equal to 3? Yeah, it's 2. So I go in, I say answer equals count plus count in. So answer is now 4. And I write out 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then it says, okay, add 1 to count in. So I add 1 to it. And I go back. Is it less than or equal to 3? Yeah. So I go in. Count plus count in is 5 now. And I write out 2 plus 3 equals 5. And I add 1 to count in, which gets it up to a 4. Okay. So now when I go back to the inner loop, count in is no longer less than or equal to 3. So what do? I drop out of the inner loop, and it says add 1 to count. So I add 1 to count, and then I loop back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yeah, it is. I just made it 3, so that's okay. I move 1 to count in, so it's now 1. I drop in and I say count plus count in should be assigned to answer, so answer becomes a 4. Okay? I write out 3 plus 1 equals 4. I add 1 to count in, which now gets it up to a 2. I go back to the inner loop. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I drop in. Answer equals count plus count in, so it is equal to 5. I write out 3 plus 2 equals 5, and I add 1 to count in. I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. I calculate answer as 3 plus 3 is 6. I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6. And I add 1 to count in. So at that point, I drop out. And the next thing it does is said add 1 to count. So I add 1 to count. And then I go back to the outer loop, and it says, while count is less than or equal to 3, well, 4 isn't less than or equal to 3, so it drops out of the inner loop, hits the script, and says, oh, done with the script, and writes the H2 header. Does that make sense? Promise? Okay? The key thing is that I set the outer header before I went in. The outer loop count, rather, before I went in. And I want to set the inner loop count in before I go in. So every time I restart the inner loop, I reset count in. If I'm just looping through it, then I'm taking care of adding to it inside the loop. But when I hit it new, I need to reset it and start it over. I think there should be some questions. Anybody got one?
The break tag on the document write line, you said that isn't recommended. That's just the way you did it?
The slash, yeah. I do it as a BR.
It would just be a BR then?
Yeah. The BR with the slash on it is XHTML, and it's fine. The validator, there is a validator that validates your code, and the validator won't even yell at you about that. So it works fine. But it also looks like XHTML. And we're not writing XHTML right now.
That's pretty standard, right? To keep track of each one, like count and count in as an answer, is that the only way you
yeah.
really remember? Okay.
Right. I mean, that's the only way that we can keep. It's not like we're remembering, the computer's remembering for us.
Like, keep track of how many times.
Right. I mean, and what I have to do is I have to think up the logic of how I want to do this. And the logic of how I want to do this is when I restart the outer loop, I want to add one to count. So I do that, and then I go up and restart. When I restart the inner loop, I want to set it back to one. So in other words, the outer loop is going 111, 222, 333, 444, 555. If it was going, and I wanted to write all of them that go up to 5 plus 5, then I'd have to think a little differently as to where I'm testing and everything. If I want to go up to 5 plus 5, what have I got to change here?
While.
Right. I changed the while to less than or equal to 5, or less than or equal to 5, and it will go up and do this through 5. But the structure that I've got here is the structure that you frequently use when you have a loop inside a loop. If I forget to do the count in equals 1, then what am I going to get? We will take a look and see. Let me save this. So if I take this code and I put it into Notepad, and I take out this line that says count in equals 1, and I do a file save, and I'm going to call it errorcountin.html, and save it on my E drive. Okay, so now I'm going to come over here and I'm going to do a control O, and I want to go to my E drive and write error count in. Okay, that was fairly extreme.
It looks more like the title of a movie.
Huh?
It looks more like the title of a movie.
Yes, right. Let's try it up here. Oh, come on. While count is less than 3.
Yeah, you didn't set it equal, you just put 1.
Thank you. Okay. I needed to have something for count in someplace. And when I took it out the other place, I needed it here. So all I got was 1 plus 1 equals 2, 1 plus 2 equals 3, 1 plus 3 equals 4. Why? Because when I added 1 to count in to make it a 4, and it went back up here and said count in is less than or equal to 3, no, it's a 4, so I'm not going to go back in. Okay? And so every time it hits that loop, it would say, I don't want to go into this loop because it's now greater than 3. So it wouldn't go in, and it wouldn't do it. Because once it did it until count in got to be four. But remember, this is count in. And it went 1, 2, 3, and when I added to one, it became four. Well, once it became four, it will never go in this loop again. Okay? So if you see that kind of error, you have to look at it and analyze it and say, wait a minute, it's stopping at this point, and that's not what I wanted. Now what you can do is throw in some alerts. And that's why I said, if you can't figure it out, you can put some alerts in here that say, show me count in, and watch what the alerts have in them. Okay, so you can put some alerts up, and that will help you to get in. And I think I did my usual of closing myself down. Why do I never do that at home? I managed to keep track of myself a lot better at home. Okay, now the next one is a do while loop. And the do while loop, again, the only difference between a do while loop and a, whoops. Okay, so now what did I do? I'm doing a really good job. Okay, so we want to be back. No, I think I want to go all the way back because I won't have... I can't talk and chew gum at the same time. Okay, so now we're going to go in and we're actually going to go to programs. And we're going to go to the do while, and we're going to right click on it and say view source, and we're going to drag it down. And then actually we ought to be able to get it over, right? Okay, what did I do?
It opened on top of it.
But right, is it still there though?
Yeah,
yes, underneath.
Oh, it is. I'll be damned. I thought I'd check that. All right. I've been sick the last 2 days. Leave me alone. Okay, so, do while. Okay, computers, I can't handle logic, I can. Do while, no, I didn't do very well in that a minute ago. Okay, so do while count is less than or equal to 3. The big difference, as we've talked about with a do while, is it will always do it at least once. And that's a question, as I told you, that will pop up on the final. That if I don't have a check at the top, then it drops down and does it once, right? And the do isn't a check. It says do it. And so it will always do it once. So this gets me exactly the same output as I got before. Okay, it's just that it checks at the bottom. And sometimes that can make a difference. In this case, it doesn't. And if we look at the next one, okay, so here we go again. If we look at the do while, and this one I can make go away, right? Actually, I'm going to make... back to making that full size. Ooh. Notice now I've got a nested do while and it worked exactly the same way. Okay? The difference is I have no condition when I write the do, and I do have a condition on the close of the loops. On the curly brace that closes the loop, that's where I put my condition. And again, it works exactly the same. Okay? And then we've got a third one of these that's a for loop. And there's my for loop. Now, the neat thing about a for loop is everything is inside the parenthesis. So I set the control there, I check the control there, and I change the control there. So it's all inside the parenthesis. Notice there's nothing down here that says add. This time my variable is I as opposed to count. But I don't have anything that says I equals I plus 1. It's up here. So my control in this one is I, as opposed to the control being count. My control is I. I just decided to make it I. So I said variable I, and then I said for I equals 1, and then there's a semicolon. Check is I less than or equal to 3, semicolon. And the last thing is I equals I plus 1. That can also be written as I equals I plus 1 can be written as I plus plus. And if you were doing count, count equals count plus 1 can be written as count plus plus. And then you have to add 1 to it. In the C languages, that plus plus is used. In other languages, it isn't. And you have to write it out more. So now we're going to look at the one making this a nested loop. Okay? So this one is a nested loop, and I'm now using I and J. Instead of count and count in, I used I and J. And the point is, the variables don't matter what you call them. You can call them apples and bananas. It doesn't matter what you call them, okay? It's just what you call them, you need to use them. In fact, I don't need this variable I because I equals 1 kind of sets it down here. And you can see I didn't do the variable J. I let it set itself. Okay, inside the for loop, that first statement establishes the variable. So you don't need to establish it outside if you don't want to. It's redundant. Okay, so this does exactly the same thing for me. The nice thing about using the for statement is it keeps track of where you are, and every time you come back up, it checks. And if it needs to, it adds one and goes back in. If it doesn't, it comes out. So it, and if you hit it on a drop down, it restarts J at 1. So it kind of automates everything for you. So this is kind of a neat way of doing it. Now, the for loop works beautifully for something like this where you want to automatically add one, or something. It doesn't work as well on some other kinds of things you might want to do, such as if you want the user to determine when you end, and we're going to look at one in a minute where the user determines when we end. That would not lend itself to a for. Okay. I'm going to skip arrays for a little bit and go down and look at the guessing games. So you can see guess number one, guess three guessing games, and we're going to look at the first one first. Okay, this one says guess a number. So I tell it to enter my guess. Now I cheated. up there in the top is the answer. Okay? And in fact, I want to do that when I'm testing the program, because how else will I know whether it's right or not if I don't know what the answer is? This one only allows you one guess. So you get it or you don't get it. So if I put in a 3, it says your guess is too low and it quits. If I refresh, and this time it says the answer is 2, so I'll put in the answer of 2. And it tells me you got it, but it's still done. The game's over. So you get one chance. Okay, which is not terribly practical for the game, but that's the way it's set right now. Okay, so the first thing I have to do is I want the computer to generate a random number. Now, all languages today, that I know of at least, all languages have a random number generator built into them. Because the code to generate a random number is extremely sophisticated and is just why have everybody reinvent the wheel. So it is a procedure that is available in all languages that I know of. In JavaScript, there are a bunch of languages associated with math, and they're math dot, and then the type of thing it is. The random number, the generator that gets generated, is a random number in decimals starting with 0. I want a random number from 1 to 5. So I say math random number times 5, and that gets me a random number actually from 0 to 4 up to 5. But I want 1 to 5, so I add a plus 1 out here, which gets me a 1 to 5. And I want to get rid of the decimals, so math floor gets rid of the decimals and gives me a whole number. So that copy and paste thing right there will generate me a random number between 1 and 5. If I want a random number between 1 and 25, I just change the 5 to a 2, 5, make it a 25, and I'll get a random number from 1 to 25. If I wanted the random number to start at 0, I'd get rid of the plus 1, and it would start at 0. If I want the random number to start at 10, I can add 10 to it. Okay, so I can basically change that, but it's really a kind of copy and paste. And I assign that to a variable called the random number. And then I took and I said, document write what's in the random number. Okay, so that's how I get the number up there at the top that tells me what the real answer is. Okay, so now I go in and I put up a prompt asking them to enter their guess. Okay. Notice this time I didn't put a comma 0 or anything there. I just left it and that works okay. They will not put anything into the box when they show it. The box will be empty. Then I said window.prompt, and again I said that's a way that a lot of people do it, but window dot is never needed there. Prompt is enough. But it really is a prompt within the window, so window prompt is accurate as well. And then I said take whatever they type in and parse it to an integer. So try to make it a number if you can, but definitely make it an integer. Because I made the random number an integer, so I want to compare integer to integer.
Is that why you don't need to have anything after enter your guess, like a 0?
No, it's just because I chose not to.
Okay.
I could put a comma 0 there and it would have been fine. And that would have put a 0 in as the thing. I probably would have thought about putting a comma 1, so at least they put in a random number, a valid number for what I was going through. But anyway. Then I said, if the random number that the computer generated is equal to my guess, then I do a document write, you got it. Else, if the random number is greater than my guess, then I say my guess was too low, and if the random number is bigger, else my guess is too high. And I don't have to ask a third if, because if there's only three possibilities, I only have to ask two questions. Because if I get a no to the two questions, it's got to be the third thing. Okay. So, the logic that I've got here is I start and I generate a random number. And I'm not even going to bother to talk about the fact that I write it out. And then I take in a guess, and then I ask the question, is the random number equal to the guess? And if the answer is yes, then I have document right, got it. If the random number is not equal to the guess, then I ask, is the random number greater than the guess? And if it is, I put out the fact that it's too low. And otherwise, I put out the fact that it's too high. And then I stop. Because as I said, you get one and only one try here. And if you didn't get it, you lose. Okay, so that's it, one try.
Not
fair. Well, then we'll write the next book.
I still don't understand how you can take in any number or any letter, like a string, without putting the zero after that answer to your question.
Just because they made the rules.
But I thought the whole reason that we put in that zero was so you can take in an answer, like before.
No, it's so that it shows the initial value that's going in the box. Okay, it's showing the initial value that's going in the box. That's all that does, is it shows the initial value going in the box. So if I refresh this, there's the box. The cursor's there and there's nothing there. If you want something there, then you put a comma and what you want there. Okay? So this one I put in a 5 and I got the your guess is too high. Okay, so now we're going to go and look at the next one, and this plays a game. So again, they've got a 1 over there. I'm going to put in a 3. And it says your guess is too high. And so I'm going to put in a 1, and it says you got it. Okay? So that's my one game. But that let me play until I got it. This was going to let me play until I got it. Now, I did a do loop here because I wanted the user to always have to do it once. Okay? I wanted it to do it once, no matter what. So that's why I chose to use a do loop here. Okay? For no reason other than that. And I could have done it with a while, but I just chose the do. So if I look at the logic here, I'm saying start, and then I'm saying generate the random number, and then I'm saying come up with a guess. Okay? And right now I'm not showing where the loop is. I have a do loop in there between the random number and the guess, but I'm not showing that quite yet. And then I come down here and say, okay, is the random number equal to the guess? If it is, then I'm putting out the message, got it. If not, is the random number greater than the guess, in which case I'm putting out the message low. Otherwise, I'm putting out the message high. Okay. And then I'm asking the question. Is the random not equal to the guess? And notice how I write not equal. It's an explanation followed by an equal sign. And on this, the no is going to drop down, like it frequently does with a loop. And the yes is going to go up and come in right there. So that shows the loop. If the random number is not equal to the guess, I want to go back in at the point where the user makes another guess. So I'm going back in and I'm prompting the user for another guess. If I were to have made this go back in before the random number generator, I would have set up total frustration because the random number would be generated differently every time. And so the information you got about the guess being too high or too low would have no bearing because there's a new random number. So you want it to go in right above the guess. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. So now I am getting out based on the control is based on the random number not equal to my guess. So my guess is the control. Okay? So my guess is the control. And what I'm doing is I am setting my guess and I am checking it kind of at the same time. Because I am taking in a prompt and letting the user enter my guess. Okay, so that's kind of where the control is. So this is, I'm taking it in and changing it. This is where I'm checking it. I think I said check instead of change. That's where I'm checking it. If the random number is not equal to my guess, I go back and I prompt again. So I'm kind of setting it at the same time that I am also changing it. Because every time you go back up, I will prompt. So I'm kind of doing the set here and the change here, all in the same thing. Because I'm setting it and changing it based on what the user types in. Okay? So the user types in a guess, and I analyze what message they should get, and then I say, okay, if they didn't get it, go back and have them type in another guess. Okay.
What did you say the exclamation point is equal to?
Exclamation equal means not equal to.
Not equal.
Okay, now the next one that I'm going to do is going to have a chance to play again. So I say, enter your guess, and I know the answer's 4, so I'm putting in 2. It says it's too high. Wait a minute. What did I type? Let me try that again. 2. Your guess is too low. I must have hit something else.
Maybe you hit 2-2.
Maybe that's what I did. But it was definitely not 2. 2 is not supposed to be too high. And then I finally put in a 4, and it says you got it. And then it says, do you want to play again? So I'm putting in a capital Y, and it gave me a 4 again. So a 2 is too low. A 5 is too high, a 3 is too low, and a 4 finally gets it. And now I don't want to play again, so I put in an N and it quits. Okay. So now what I've got is I've got two loops. Okay, I've got a loop within a loop. So my inner loop is the do with the while the random number is not equal. So that's my inner loop. And my outer loop is checking the while y is equal to y or n. Basically, it's checking on whether you ended a y or an n. Okay, so those are my two loops. Okay, so in this particular one, I'm coming in and I'm saying set the play again equal to y. Okay? And then I said, okay, do, and I said, find your random number and show it. And then find, get me a guess. My comparison is exactly the same. If they're equal, they got it. Otherwise, it's either high or low. And if at the bottom here, I'm asking while the random number is not equal. And if it's not equal, they go back and put in another guess. At the bottom, I've asked, after they drop out of this, and they drop out of it when they got a match. Okay, so they drop out of it when they got a match. So, when they drop out of it, do you want to play again? Yes or no, is the next thing they see. And you can answer a Y or an N. And then I do a document write to move down, and I say while n is not equal to n. So the only thing that gets me out of this game is entering a capital N. If I enter a lowercase n, I play again. If I enter a Z, I play again. If I enter an exclamation point, I play again. The only thing that gets me out is a capital N. Because I'm saying do while play again is not equal to capital N. So that's the only thing that gets me out. Okay. So the logic on this one, I have my start, I have my random number, I have my guess, and I check, is random equal to guess? If the answer is yes, I've got to gut it. If not, is random greater than guess? If so, I've got a low. Otherwise, I've got a high. Okay? And that gets me down to this point. Now, the next thing is the random number not equal to my guess? And that's a question. So I'm asking, is the random number not equal to the guess? And if the random number is not equal to the guess, I want them to guess again, so I come back in and go up there, so that they will guess again. If, so I'm prompting them, do you want to play again? Yes or no, next. Okay? So if they drop out of the loop because the random number equals my guess, the next thing I want to ask them is, do you want to play again? Okay? So I want to ask them if they want to play again. So I'm talking about play. If play is not equal to N, I will go back up and come in and guess another random number. If it is, I stop. Okay. So I ask the question, do you want to play again, yes or no? And I should have put a prompt in there, sorry. There should have been a prompt there that said, play again. Okay? Because obviously I asked them if they wanted to play again. So there should have been a play again. I didn't have room for it anyway. So we'll stick it in on the side. And then I check, and while play again is not equal to no, okay, if it's not equal to no, I go up and do the random number again. If it is equal to N, I stop. So I can play the game as many times as I want. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. Next, we're going to talk about your homework or an assignment I'm going to put up for you. Let's see, I need to get this out. And I want to go back over here. Okay, you're going to write the rock, paper, scissors game. Okay? So, you get to write rock, paper, scissors. And you had... No, you didn't take the class while we did that. I do that in a lot of classes so people see it. So Visual Basic, I get people to write the rock, paper, scissors also. Okay, so we're going to write rock, paper, scissors. So we're going to write two players, rock, paper, and scissors. They can pick, okay? So the two players... Player one is the computer. And player two is the user. Okay, the person. So we've got the computer against the user. So, the easiest way to do this, and what I would recommend, is that you tell people to type in a 1, 2, or 3. As opposed to an RPRS. It is certainly doable with an RPRS, but we haven't gotten into ways that would make that kind of handleable. So I think the best thing to do is say to the player at the prompt, type a 1 for rock, 2 for paper, 3 for scissors. Okay, so that they type in a 1, 2, or 3. Because that matches with what I can do to have the computer do. So I'm going to have the computer get a random number. That is 1, 2, or 3. So the computer is going to get a random number that's 1, 2, or 3. Just like in this game we had to generate a random number from 1 to 5. You're going to generate a random number from 1 to 3. Then the user is going to type in either a 1, 2, or 3. Now I got to compare it. Okay? How many possibilities are there?
Numbers?
No, how many possible results? You do it with somebody else. What are the 9 possibilities? Yeah, I just said 9. Good for me. Okay. I lied. I made a mistake. It's not really 9. Now tell me that it's 9. Okay. There are 9 possibilities, okay? There are 9 possibilities. So what are the 9?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yep. So you've got, the possibilities are computer and user. So it is 1 to 1, right? Mm-hmm. Which is rock to rock. 1 to 2, 1 to 3. 2 to 1, 2 to 2, 2 to 3. 3 to 1, 3 to 2, 3 to 3. Okay? So those are the possibilities that you can have, are all of those. So you have to ask the question is, and compare what the computer entered and what you entered and put out an appropriate message. Now, one of the things that the kind of a shortcut that you can take is there's the possibility of a tie. And so you can ask right at the beginning, does computer equal user? And if the computer equals the user, you kind of chalked off three of those at once because that's a tie. Okay, so if the computer equals the user, then I know it's a tie. Okay, I don't care whether it's a rock tie or a paper tie or a scissors tie, it's a tie. Then you have to start asking the questions as to who won. And there are six left that you got to ask the who's won. Now, start trying to lay out a flowchart just very quickly of how you could ask. I keep running into the report of them. Try laying out and thinking through for a few minutes how the logic would work on this. Okay, try to kind of do a flowchart of how you would ask these questions. And then I'll start doing one. It's very similar to the guessing game that we played, in a sense. The difference being that the guessing game kept going, whereas rock, paper, scissors, that's it. Everything's a new game. And when I give you this assignment, I will ask you to pass in a flowchart as well as the solution. So,
how do we make a flowchart on a computer?
You can draw it and take a picture of it.
Oh, okay.
You can. There's a lot of software out there that lets you make a picture. And in fact, you can go into Word. And Word has all of the right symbols for, if you look around at the symbol things, Word has all the symbols to make a flowchart. And there's free software that can make a flowchart, but if you want, you can just take a picture of it. People didn't used to be able to do that as easily. I would say the first question I would ask would be the tie question. Is computer equal to user? And you check off three of them already.
We need to pick who wins. So, whether I have the higher number of wins, or is it going to be based on the actual
rules? It's based on the actual rules. Rock, paper, scissors.
Scissors beat paper beats rock, rock beats scissors.
Actually, I had one person one time that had never played rock, paper, scissors. But I assume that everybody's played rock, paper, scissors at some point. Okay? Most people don't make it into adulthood without having played rock, paper, scissors a few times.
You think I decide everything?
Huh?
You think I decide everything?
Rules your life, huh? Okay, so paper covers rock.
Yeah, rock beats scissors. Paper beats rock.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got to then translate that into the 1, 2, and 3. But that's you get to do in your head. So why won't you let me get that whole thing? Interesting. I don't know why that wouldn't let me get both of them. Okay, this is the way I would start out. So you start out and you say computer equals user. That's a tie, right? We don't care whether it's 1 and 1, 2 and 2, 3 and 3. If computer equals user, it's a tie. If not, then I'm going to ask, is computer equal to 1? And then what am I going to ask if the computer is equal to 1?
Is player equal to 2?
Okay. So is the user, which is the player, you're right, if the user equals 2, and if that's true, then what is it?
Hold on. Hey, repeat back. User win.
Okay, now what do I do next?
Well, it depends. Do you want there to be... Do you want there to be only 1, 2, 3 for inputs? Because if they put 4, if they put 5...
If I want that, then I'll put it up at the top where I check on their input and all the rest. That's not a requirement for the program. If you want to do it...
Then on no computer win.
Mm-hmm.
On no computer win.
Right. And he's right. This is assuming... that the user typed in the right thing. If the user doesn't type in the right thing, then you have to add the no, and what you would do is say user equals 3, in which case computer wins, otherwise error. Okay. So you'd have to throw in the if the user equals 3, otherwise it's an error. Okay, but I'm not requiring you to do that. You can make a choice whether you want to do it or not. You can make a choice that your user actually knows what they're doing. okay, which is a very invalid choice to make, but, you know, you can get away with it. Okay, so that's how you start out, and then you have to continue on. If the computer isn't equal to 1, is the computer a 2, is the computer a 3, and go through all of that kind of stuff. Now, the other thing that you have to think about is if you don't want to write all of those single ifs, you can go in and try to figure out combinations of what makes a computer win, what makes the user win, and write out some compound if statements as to what makes the computer win and what makes the user win. So it's up to you how you want to do it, but you're going to have to write the rock, paper, scissors game. Okay? And we are done. On Tuesday, we'll wrap up JavaScript. We'll look at arrays and a few other little things that I want to go over. And then we will wrap up JavaScript. Okay, everything that you don't want to lose credit for has to be in for, or lose some credit, has to be in today. By midnight tonight, up to week 6, remember? I want to ruin my weekend. So again, anything up to week 6 that you haven't passed in, I'm going to start deducting penalties. Okay? So anything up to week 6 has got to be into me now.
If you pass it in, you send it back.
That's fine. As long as I've gotten it by the 23rd. Now, to be honest, if somebody passes me in a piece of total garbage tonight, yeah, right. But as long as it looks like a sincere effort.
Notice this. It's been 3 hours later.